is Express FM.
Supported by Southern Co-op. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Pompey's FA Cup journey has come to an end.
Loose in the six-yard box. Hiwula, great save, Bentley. And that is the final action of the game. And Daniel Bentley's left hand has won this tie for Bristol City. The full-time whistle goes. It's Bristol City who prevail by 2-1.
Championship outfit Bristol City knocked the Blues out at the third round stage following a 2-1 win at Ashton Gate. Later in the show, we'll be hearing from manager Kenny Jackett, who is now fully focused for the second half of the League One campaign.
Although we're frustrated to lose the game, you know, we have to try to set some standards for the second half of the season now, because we have a lot of games coming up and we want to keep that bar really high in terms of our determination, our fitness, our performance level.
Stick around between now and 7 o'clock to hear the post-match thoughts of the gaffer. And we also want to hear from you, the Pompey fans, throughout the course of the hour. Let us know your thoughts on yesterday's performance, whether or not you believe the Blues could cope with life in the Championship, and your score predictions for tomorrow night's trip to Peterborough in the Papa John's Trophy. Myself, Ryan Honey and Rhys Harding are on hand tonight to discuss all of the latest Pompey news, react to Sunday's defeat and preview the midweek trip to London Road. Right here on FM, DAB, online and through your smart speaker, you're listening to Express FM and this is the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and a warm welcome on this bitterly cold Monday night to the Football Hour here on Express FM, your home of every Pompey match day up and down the country, with Blues chat every Monday and Friday from 6 p.m. here on the Football Hour, which is once again this season being driven to you by Stagecoach across the South. Download the Stagecoach app from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to plan and even pay for your next journey. And please bear in mind that face covering must be worn at all times throughout your journey. As always, we've got plenty to run through over the next 60 minutes or so, including analysis of yesterday's trip to Ashton Gate, some transfer talk, and a preview of tomorrow's EFL trophy visit to Peterborough United. You too can get involved with the discussion tonight. Simply text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. Otherwise, you can email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @ExpressFM, or head on over to facebook.com/PompeyLive. But before we get into any of that, we're going to take you back to around 28 and a half hours ago, to be precise, when the Blues made the relatively short journey west to the city of Bristol. Your commentary team for this FA Cup third round tie, Ashton Gate, came via Andy Moon and Alan McLaughlin.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Both sides taking the knee, and now we are underway on Portsmouth's going from left to right. Bristol City in their usual home colours is to have the ball outside the penalty area, and there's a bit of pressure being put on by John Marquis and Ryan Williams, who we know how hard he works as the ball's played out to this near left-hand side and then long down the touchline. Raggett comes across and the ball is beyond Jeju and it's out of play for a Portsmouth throw. So City are throw on goal. Chance here, and McGilvery has to make a save. And can Pompey get it clear from the penalty area? Cannon hooks it away. And Portsmouth cut open down their right-hand side and needing McGilvery to bail them out and keep it at 0-0. Nice break forward from Bristol City. Here's Jeju outside the area. Jeju chance and into the back of the net. And Bristol City have taken the lead. First sniff of goal for Femera Jeju. There's nothing Craig McGilvery can do on that one. He's moved it onto his left foot. And he's really just stroked it powerfully into the corner. It's Portsmouth 0, Bristol City 1. Here's Johnson, chance to cross into the penalty area. Header down. Marquis on the 6-yard box. Turns away. Can he get the shot away? No, and it's blocked and cleared away by Bristol City. Best moment, perhaps, of the half so far for Portsmouth. Cannon down the left-hand side for Portsmouth. 20 yards out, trying to barrel his way through. Harness trying to set Cannon in the box. Late chance for Pompey. Pulls it back. Callum Johnson into the back of the net. And Portsmouth are level on the stroke of half-time. And Callum Johnson has his first ever Portsmouth goal. Just stroking it back where it came from, into the corner. It's Bristol City 1, Portsmouth 1. Tommy Rowe, who has the ball in his hands, declined a new Doncaster contract to sign for Bristol City, drills it into the area, not dealt with by Portsmouth. Shot on goal is saved by McGilvery. And Portsmouth are breaking forward. Here's Ryan Williams. He's on his own. What can he do? Plays it square. Chance for Harness into the box. Marcus Harness, can he get the shot away? Gets the ball stuck under his feet. Has to play it out to the right-hand side. Johnson's crossed to the far post, looking for Harrison. Back across goal. Vital touch there from Taylor Moore as Bristol City get it clear with Harrison lurking in the middle, and Pompey have to build again from the back. 1-1. Portsmouth try and go on their way again, and they've got options on this left-hand side. Harrison wanted it played through to him. Ryan Williams is on his own. He's still going. It's a great run from Williams. Has he got the finish? Laid back to Lee Brown. Brown can't get the shot away, and Portsmouth still have the ball, but that just moment feels like it's gone as the cross comes into the box, and the first header won by Bristol City. Naylor gets that shot horribly wrong. That would have needed something a bit special on the volley on his left foot. What a run from Ryan Williams, but he couldn't even get a shot at the end of it as the game becomes stretched and Bristol City come forward, challenged by Cannon, out for a throw. Now Bristol City come forward again. There's space for them over on the left-hand side. Can they get the cross into the danger area? They can, but Watmore will head away. He's not had a huge amount to do, Jack Watmore. Now City with possession outside the area. Martin trying to work it to J.J. Martin to get the shot on goal, and it's a great strike and into the net. Chris Martin has found the top corner and has given Bristol City the lead with just 7.5 minutes remaining. He's had a quiet game, but he smashed in his fourth of the season. It's Bristol City 2, Portsmouth 1. As time slowly ticks away, there's 20 seconds on the watch. It's the final chance to lift it in towards the penalty area, towards the edge of the box. Can't win the flick on. Loose ball to be picked up by Harness on the right. Needs to get the delivery right. He hasn't got long. Tries a right foot across into a dangerous area. It's free to Hawula at the back post. Hooked back. Watmore with the header. On target. Loose in the 6-yard box. Hawula. Great save, Bentley. And that is the final action of the game. And Daniel Bentley's left hand has won this tie for Bristol City, keeping out Jordi Hawula's 95th minute effort. The full-time whistle goes. It's Bristol City who prevail by 2-1.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there from the 2-1 defeat away to Bristol City in yesterday's FA Cup fixture at Ashton Gate. Joining me this evening to talk about that game and to look ahead to the next, I'm delighted to say, is the one and only Ryan Honey. Ryan, a very good evening to you, pal, and thank you for calling into the show.
Evening, Jake. Thanks for having me back on the show, mate. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Ryan, it was a loss for Pompey against Championship opponents Bristol City this weekend, but we'll start with a positive, and well, not that there's really anything negative to say about that game, but a huge positive for Pompey yesterday was the performance, because they more than matched their opponents for large periods of the game.
No, they did. I thought we played some superb football at times. Like you say, we more than matched a solid Championship side in Bristol City. And for large parts of the game, it looked like we were going to go on and win it. Their second goal, Chris Martin, scored very much against the run of play. In my opinion, I think a lot of people will agree with that who watched the game. It was just that one bit of quality in the game that won them the game in the end. And that is the difference between League One and Championship. And that's something we're going to have to get used to should we go up.
Yeah,
but I thought we can come out of that with our heads held high because it was a solid, solid performance.
Rhys Harding also joins us on the show today. Good evening and welcome back to you, Rhys.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure as always, Rhys. As we've just been saying there, the Blues have, well, they gave a very good account of themselves yesterday, didn't they, against a side who have been knocking on the door of the Championship playoffs over the past few seasons. So promising signs from Pompey.
Oh, 100%, definitely. And, you know, I agree with everything. I mean, was said, it's just as much as the performance, you know, you think, oh, 2-1, it ended, and you think we had our chances, especially in the second half of the game. How did we not get that second goal? The performance itself was so almost, it's uplifting after especially a couple of weeks off. You know, any team after having the few weeks off that we had, then the frozen pitch against Accrington, so we didn't play that. And you think, you know, we need this game to sort of set ourselves back up again so that we can keep going with the rest of our season. And actually, to come out and put that performance on, you know, it makes you feel excited for the rest of the season, because, you know, we haven't lost it. We look defensively, you know, capable. We look defensively all right. Going forward, we look creative, especially in that second half. So actually, there was a lot of positives despite the result.
Yeah. Let's go back to before kickoff, actually, Ryan, when the team news was announced at Ashton Gate. Lee Brown obviously came in for the record can pring at left back, but there was no place for either Ronan Curtis or Alex Bass in the team. We hear that Alex Bass had a minor calf injury, so perhaps a sensible decision from a gaffer to leave him out and possibly save him for Tuesday night. But we worry about Ronan Curtis, who we've been informed will take another COVID test despite recently coming back with negative results. He missed yesterday's game feeling unwell, according to Kenny Jackett. So hopefully, Ryan, he'll come back negative again. And, you know, hopefully, you know, that feeling he's got is just a general feeling unwell.
Yeah, let's hope so. I mean, it's a very interesting time being in the January transfer window, which we are, when one of your best players like Curtis is left out of the squad, and not much is really said about it until after the game. You sort of start to wonder, is there something that we don't know about? But, you know, we have to take what Jackett has said for granted and believe him. But I think by the end of the month, we'll know whether it was actually an injury or a transfer business that we don't know about. So let's all hope for the best that Curtis stays with us to the end of the season, at least.
Do you think there is any scope in the rumours, Rhys, that Ronan Curtis might leave Fratton Park this transfer window? I mean, as Ryan just mentioned, you know, it's a funny old time being in the transfer window, because you hear so many rumours, and, you know, 80% of them really are not true. And to be honest, with this Ronan Curtis one, which has somehow picked up some sort of momentum today, you know, that's come out of nowhere, and, you know, that is in no way, shape or form from any sort of reliable source. But, you know, it is a question, like Ryan said, you know, it comes up every transfer window. Your best players do get, you know, scouted by the teams higher above. Do you think there's a chance he could leave Pompey this transfer window?
I mean, you look at you know, this window, this season especially, you've got players that, you know, missing games, you know, left, right and centre because of the coronavirus and things like that. So for a player to be out for illness, it's you know, it's going to happen to us and things like that. And I think if it is a transfer thing that's happening, I don't think we should be surprised. I mean, he's a very good player. And like you say, there's always interest in him. Will he go? I'm not sure personally, because actually he's stuck with us in previous seasons at times when we haven't gained promotion, and we'll have another go and we haven't got it then. So, you know, I see no reason why he would leave this time. Yeah. However, obviously, if the right bid comes in for him or the right offer comes in, then, you know, he is a very decent player. And actually, you know, looking back at other seasons, our squad has perhaps been a little, our squad depth's been slightly lacking or whatever. So this season, I think we've got a better squad depth, better, just a better team in general. So actually, if we were to, you know, somehow lose him this window, then actually I'd feel a little bit more steadier this season if we were, you know, because I feel like we have got a stronger team, you know, yeah. Now. He is a star player in our team, but he's it's not like he's like the one man up front. We've got plenty of options now.
We've got the backup and we've got the strength and depth there, Rhys. And it's, again, theoretically, Ryan, if Ronan was to go, we're not saying it's going to happen, but if it were to happen, do you think Pompey would need to recruit in that position? You know, would it be a case of relying on the likes of Michael Jacobs perhaps in that role, or would you prefer someone to come in and actually, you know, be a player on that starting 11 week in, week out? How do you think that would unfold?
Well, I think. Oh, it's a tough one because Curtis is so influential in our attacking play. If he was to go, it would be an absolutely massive hole to fill. And do I think Michael Jacobs could live up to that and get sort of 20 goal involvements a season? maybe, but probably not. Well, judging by what we've seen so far from him, I know he's not really been fully fit, but should he get fully fit, maybe we'll see that. But, you know, if Curtis was to go for a significant fee, I would hope that Pompey would then put that into an incoming themselves. So, like I said, we'll have to see what happens from now and until the end of the month. Until Curtis goes anywhere, we've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah. Let's go back to yesterday's game, and we've kind of gone off on a bit of a tangent, but you know, some very good points raised there about Ronan Curtis and the possibility of him perhaps leaving Fratton Park this transfer window. Like I say, there is nothing that we know of, anything reliable to that rumour, so just putting that out there as well. We've got a text here from, well, actually, there's no name to this one, so whoever this is, thank you for texting in anyway. Good evening to you. They say, good effort yesterday. We're unlucky not to be in the draw for tonight's fourth round draw. One less distraction from the league now. Any news on the EFL Trophy final from last year yet? Can't believe how long this has been dragging on. It's insulting to fans keeping our money for this long without any feedback. And there is no way but 60,000 fans will be allowed into Wembley anytime soon. Anyway, we will try to win tomorrow and head closer to another final. Again, no name on that one, but in answer to your question, no, we've got no news on last year's final. I know it's frustrating, very frustrating for all of us, but we you know, we do acknowledge as well that it's you know, it's not just Pompey's case. You've got to, you know, take into consideration the thoughts of Salford City, the opponents, the EFL as well. Perhaps they're all holding dear to the idea that maybe we may be able to play it at the end of this season with fans back, whether it's at a reduced capacity or not. So, yeah, we don't know. Unfortunately, we don't have any, you know, confirmation on that one. But as it stands, they still want the game to be played, whether that is with or without fans at the end of this season, hopefully. Hopefully the former. Hopefully it will be with supporters in attendance. Ashley on Twitter, Ashley Barfoot, following yesterday's result, he said, Pompey made a good fist of it. Blessing to get knocked out, in my opinion. We've had a few good cup runs the last couple of seasons and we haven't got promoted. I'd prefer if we put all of our effort into that. Reece, does he have a good point there, Ashley, on Twitter? Perhaps a blessing to get knocked out of the cup yesterday. And, you know, we spoke about how Pompey's performance was impressive against a very good Championship team. And, you know, the result isn't the most important thing when you take into consideration our goals in League One this season. So would you agree that it is a blessing in disguise?
Somewhat I do agree. I'm never a big fan of the notion of focusing on one particular area, you know, focus on the league or focus on a cup. I'm not really a fan of that, because at the end of the day, I personally, as a fan, want to win the cups, want to win the leagues, you know. I want to win it all. But you look at some previous seasons, we've got knocked out of cups and things, and we won't have any cup competitions on, but we still weren't winning the fixtures even without the cup. So on one side, I think, yeah, it's good. It's one less thing on our mind. You know, we put up a decent effort against a good Championship side and we can prove ourselves. But now without that competition over for us, we've got to prove that actually that we can do well in the league. You know, the worst thing now would be for us to go in this weekend or the weekend after in a league game and then lose those, because actually, that should be our primary focus now. But with one less thing on our minds, then yes, we've actually got to put that into practice now and get those wins still and not just throw that away.
Yeah. Don't forget, we'd love to hear the post-match thoughts of you back home as well, the Pompey fans. Let us know how you thought the Blues performed at the weekend and whether or not that proved to you that Pompey are nearly there in terms of being able to compete in the second division. All the usual ways to get in touch. It's 81400 on the text, starting your message with the word Express. It's pompey@expressfm.com on the emails, @expressfm if you're on Twitter, or you can visit facebook.com/Pompey Live. The three of us here would also like to know how you feel about Pompey's reported interest in Charlie Daniels, a left back with Premier League experience, could be on his way to Fratton Park this month. Would you be happy with that deal if the Blues got it done? Or would you prefer a signing more intended for the long term? Very shortly, we'll be hearing from the gaffer, who spoke on the touchline following Sunday's FA Cup defeat.
I did think as the game wore on, and particularly in the second half, we come back into it strongly. And, you know, while they have a lot of quality, I did think we gave them some problems as well. Unfortunately, we couldn't finish enough of those, and ultimately then that's cost us going through in the next round of the Cup.
And we'll be continuing to pick apart that game, as well as moving the conversation along to the next. Right here on the only radio station proud to be passionately Pompey. Join us again for part two of this Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour here on Express FM, supported this season by Stagecoach across the South. Head on over to stagecoachbus.com for more information on fares, timetables and the latest COVID-related guidelines. Back to yesterday afternoon then, Ryan and Pompey, of course, dropping out of the FA Cup at the third round stage at the hands of Bristol City in the Championship. We've spoken about the Blues' performance and whether or not, you know, that kind of proves to Pompey fans out there that actually we might be able to cope in the Championship. And I just want to reflect on previous seasons, in particular, of course, under Kenny Jackett, when Pompey have gone up against teams higher up in, you know, in the Football League ladder, in particular Championship teams. Of course, we played against QPR in the League Cup. We played them in the FA Cup as well. We took that to a replay at Loftus Road. We defeated Norwich City 2 years ago, almost to a day. And we've beaten Barnsley as well in the FA Cup. There are a number of teams who we have gone to, we've played against, we've beaten them, or we've just simply given them a very, very good game. Do you think that is kind of suited for Pompey's play? Do you get the kind of opinion that when the Blues come up against teams of higher divisions who play perhaps more fast-paced football as opposed to teams in the lower leagues, you know, League One, League Two, who don't quite play that attractive style of football? Do you think that's when Pompey are in their element?
Well, I think that may have a slight impact on it, but I think yesterday our approach was different to how we have played against teams higher up in the past. I mean, the QPR games, from what I can remember, and the Norwich game away when we won 1-0, I was there, and a brilliant occasion, Andre Green, obviously, and those sort of games, not yesterday, but those sort of games, we sort of sat back and invited the pressure more so and sort of hit them on the counter-attack. And we were defensively solid in the majority of those games as well. So that's the Kenny Jackett way. Defend first. First and foremost, make sure your defence is set up right and then go forward and then try and counter-attack. Whereas yesterday, I thought the play in which we did take to Bristol City was much more free-flowing. It was much more possession-based and working through the thirds. When we played Bristol City yesterday, it was almost as if they were shocked. Mm. We almost shocked them in their own stadium. So, I mean, the way in which we did play yesterday was very much like a Championship side would play against them, and I think we almost caught them by surprise. And we've so very nearly. We so very nearly got one over on them and came away with a win. But like I said earlier, that little bit of class, little bit of quality was the telling of the story.
Of course, as Ryan said there, Reece, you know, the difference between Pompey and Bristol City yesterday and, you know, the difference between League One and Championship football is, you know, finding the back of the net. And I know that sounds so daft and so obvious, but, you know, it's true, because we did more than match Bristol City in large periods of the game on Sunday. But they have the experience and the know-how to kind of maybe ride that storm, weather that storm and get the win over, you know, over the line at, you know, the final whistle. They got the goals that were required, and that is really all that's needed. They managed to get that done, and they've got the experience to do that too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, our team going up against them is a testament, like I said before, is that we have this strong team, and this, you know, we can't be underestimated when we come up against these teams, these Championship sides, because we do have that quality, that all-round quality, I think, that we could challenge in the Championship. But like you say, that you know, that cutting edge, that is what separates the two leagues. Mm. And unfortunately, that gap does seem to be getting, you know, bigger and bigger every season. You know, when you see teams go up to the Championship from League One, they find it so difficult. Well, some of them find it so difficult. And it's as much having that goal threat and having that having that clinicalness, from your forwards, as it is having a sort of a well-rounded championship outfit. Because at the end of the day, I think we've got a very decent team that could compete or could try and compete with some championship sides. But like we don't have that that goal-scoring threat against them like Bristol City had against us, then it's not going to work out. But, I think we're somewhat of a way there.
Yeah.
But you can see the difference.
Mentality as well is another factor to take into consideration, Ryan, as much as the ability as well. But testament to Pompey yesterday as well. We speak about the performance and how perhaps the Blues were a little bit harshly done by to lose the game, to concede that second goal. But you've got to give credit, because the Blues actually went out, and after that second goal, 7 minutes of the game remaining, they didn't sit back, they didn't slump back, they didn't put their heads down. They went on to try and find that equaliser. It never came, of course. It almost came via Jordi Huwula in the dying seconds. But that kind of mentality, that kind of attitude is what you want from your team. Whether you win the game, draw the game or lose the game, that is what you want. You want the effort, the desire and the passion to actually look like you want to go out there and play and actually get the result that's required.
No, exactly that. I thought, while watching the game, we had nothing to lose. It was almost a free hit in that regard. And going to a championship side, we've got nothing to lose. We're always going to be the underdog coming into the game from a lower division. And we almost did it. So that is something that we can take into the rest of the season. If we play like we did yesterday against Bristol City, I have no doubt in my mind that is a team that could get us automatic promotion. The confidence, the play in which we produced was of real quality at times, and it showed. But like we said previously, that cutting edge let us down. But like I said earlier, we can take it into the rest of the season and hopefully get automatic promotion.
Yeah. Ben Chu on Twitter says it's time to focus on the league now. Playoff heartbreak isn't an option this season. Wouldn't mind us seeing us have an EFL trophy run and give the youngsters some game time, but it's not as much of a priority. Ben Chu on Twitter there. Blake O'Neill on Facebook says, but I think we proved yesterday that we would survive in the championship as we outplayed them, but we missed the finishing touch. If we can play like that in League One, I'm confident we will be promoted. And then with a little bit of investment, I'll be more than confident we'll be able to survive in the second tier. Steve Farmer, he says, but it's not good enough for the championship unless money is spent at Fratton Park. Steve Farmer on Facebook there. An email here from Graham Wilkins. Firstly, Happy New Year to you all and everyone at Express Radio Station. Happy New Year to you too as well, Graham Wilkins. He says, regards yesterday's game against Bristol City, the Blues more than done enough in my eyes to think that we can more than hold our own in the championship should we go up this season. Pompey didn't look like a team that hadn't played for over 3 weeks and more than matched City on their day. The fact that their keeper was their man of the match says a lot. I'm not worried about going out of the cup this early as the games are coming thick and thin, so this can only benefit the Blues in the long run. Cannon was my man of the match as he had a barnstorming game yet again. Just wish he would score more goals. Onwards and upwards. So Graham Wilkins on the emails. And finally, Stephen Jerome. Hi, guys. It's a shame we couldn't go any further in the FA Cup, but we gave it a good go against Bristol City yesterday, and I was proud of the lads for their efforts. We didn't start too badly in the first half, and I thought, but after the first 20 minutes or so, we started growing into the game more, and it was good to see us equalise just before half time. But then we came out in the second half. I thought we really dominated the second 45, and we actually looked like the championship side and looked more likely to score again. We created so many chances. Had one of them gone in, it may have been a different story. Stephen Jerome on the emails, thank you for getting in touch. A very good evening to you as well. There's still plenty of time to get involved from back home too this evening, by the way. Whether you've still got an opinion on yesterday's game, thoughts on Pompey's transfer window, or even a score prediction for tomorrow night's trophy game against Peterborough, we welcome them all and we'd love to hear from you. All the details can be found on our website, expressfm.com. But first, we're going to hear the post-match reaction of manager Kenny Jackett. Jack Fallon caught up with the gaffer on the Ashton Gate touchline following Sunday's 2-1 FA Cup defeat.
Kenny, your players played well today, but just came up short. What was your take on the game?
Yeah, we competed well with obviously a very good side and a very good club.
aspiring to be in the top six themselves. They're very rarely in recent years been out of the top 10 of the championship. So we knew, you know, we'd have to play well today. You know, we're disappointed to lose, because particularly in the second half, I did think that we were the better side. But similarly, when you have those moments and those situations and those chances that we had, you have to take them. It's a real great strike from Chris Martin that has decided it, and just right at the end, keeper made an outstanding save from Hawula as well.
Say that's one of the main positives you can take away from this game, is how well your team played against a good Championship opposition team when we go back into the league in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we're frustrated, obviously, but similarly, if you don't take your chances when you're on top, then, you know, you don't deserve to win games. Finishing is a really big part of the game. But as I said, there's a lot we can take out of the performance. You know, we're pleased with that. And although we're frustrated to lose the game, you know, we have to try to set some standards, you know, for the second half of the season now, because we have a lot of games coming up. We want to keep that bar really high in terms of our determination, our fitness, our performance level.
Going back to the start of the game, City seemed to start a little bit brighter. What do you put that down to? Just a little bit of ring rust, perhaps?
No, not really. They're a good side, and they was always going to have spells. But I did think, as the game wore on, and particularly in the second half, we come back into it strongly. And you know, while they have a lot of quality, I did think we gave them some problems as well. Unfortunately, we couldn't finish enough of those. And ultimately, then, that's cost us going through in the next round of the Cup.
You'll have been right behind that Callum Johnson strike. He caught it sweetly, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a very good finish. I believe his first goal for us is of an age now where I do think in the upcoming years now, he's going to, like a lot of our players, just coming into his time, I think. Callum, like Andy Cannon, like Marcus Arnis, like Ronan Curtis, a lot of those lads now just coming into a good time. They have to keep both their attitude and their fitness very, very high if they want to get to where they want to go to.
As the game wore on, the substitutes made a pretty good impact. Jack on at half-time, Ellis on shortly after. And then you started to dominate the game. It's just one of those chances just didn't quite fall today, did it?
No, and you have to, when you get into those moments, you have to take those if you want to be successful, because otherwise it's coming back at you. But I do feel that with the forwards that we have, both starting and on the bench, you know, if we can keep creating for them, then they will score the goals, definitely. I have confidence in that.
After having such a long break, we'll be back on the road on Tuesday to Peterborough, a completely new set of players, as you mentioned before. What do you want to see from that group going into that game?
Yeah, for us, we want to give everybody a run out. It's both Sunday and Tuesday. So, as you say, you know, we'll change it slightly. I'm sure Peterborough will as well. And with us, you know, with the game today, we want to make sure as a squad we're determined, we're organised, we do everything we can to try to get through. And while, you know, might be some role reversal in terms of the substitutes playing and some of these lads being sub, you know, similarly, if we can get back into winning ways, that'd be great.
Kenny Jackett there with his thoughts on yesterday's game with Bristol City at Ashton Gate, which of course ended in defeat for the Blues, eliminating them from this season's FA Cup at the third round stage. We're going to move on now and talk a little bit about the next few weeks of the transfer window. And quite clearly, Ryan, a position of importance which needs addressing is left back. Campering being recalled has left quite the hole in that position, leaving Pompey rather short of backup options. Of course, Lee Brown is at the moment being favoured in that spot, but quite obviously we need to strengthen that area of the pitch.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Lee Brown already this season's picked up a few niggles, little injuries, and ruled him out for a few weeks here and there. So I think that should be the priority, bringing in another left back, definitely. Whether it's the more experienced Charlie Daniels, I know he's been a name that's circulating Twitter and all different sorts of social media outlets right now as a replacement for Campering, or a youngster in Steve Seddon, which we saw last season. So, I mean, we've definitely got options in that regard, and it'd be interesting to see who Jackett pulls the strings and brings in.
Pompey, of course, reportedly interested in Charlie Daniels. Reese, a left-back previously playing for Bournemouth in the Premier League. He's got that experience at a higher level. He spent the first half of this season at Shrewsbury Town in League One. So, you know, clearly, you know, although, yes, he's of age, you know, he's got the ability to still perform well at this level of football. Would he be a player you'd be interested in bringing to Fratton Park, or would you rather, you know, Pompey bring in someone a little bit younger, perhaps targeting for the future a little bit?
It's a tough one because I think I would prefer a more experienced player, actually, because at the end of the day, we just need to sort of reinforce that position to get to the end of the season and get us promoted. And then from then we could then spend as it, you know, when we're, if we were in the championship. So for now, I think, getting a player that's experienced, has those experience of playing in those higher leagues under his belt in our team, then actually that might help for the short term. But I think the short term is what we need most. If we look forward to the for a player for the long term, and maybe it doesn't work out, then all of a sudden, if we do get promoted, then that player's I think focusing on the short term now, because you just don't know what's going to happen in the future, whether we're still going to be in this league next year, you know, hope not, or whether we'll be in the championship. I think, yeah, just to get someone experienced in for now would be our best option, personally.
Yeah. Rather interesting as well, Ryan. You know, we're hearing from, you know, multiple news outlets since the, you know, the weekend, and the rumours circulated about Charlie Daniels being linked to Pompey. And Kenny Jackett saying that, of course, the left-back position is something he is looking to bolster before the end of his transfer window. And he didn't actually deny the interest in Charlie Daniels. Of course, he didn't confirm it, but he also didn't deny it, which is quite interesting, because Kenny's also a man who, you know, he doesn't reveal too much, of course, but he would also deny a rumour if it weren't true. So does that give you some sort of inclination that maybe there is some sort of material to this?
Maybe. I mean, Kenny Jackett's a manager that keeps his cards very close to his chest, so we'll take it with a pinch of salt, I think. If Charlie Daniels was to sign this week, next week, I mean, I'd be very happy with that. An experienced player, obviously played in the Premier League with Bournemouth, and now has experience at this level with Shrewsbury this season. So, I mean, he's a player that Jackett knows of, and everyone that watches football knows who Charlie Daniels is, really, if they know their stuff. And they'll know that at this level, he's a very good signing. So if he can be brought in, the experience would be invaluable, I think.
Yeah. Ben Chu's got back in touch on Twitter. He says, I'd rather see Seddon sign, young legs, and we know what he's capable of after his spell at Fratton Park in previous seasons. However, Daniels does carry many years of experience. Ben on Twitter there. Bailey Rousell would rather Pompey sign Steve Seddon. Simon Woodhead says that Daniels is not only a left back, but a match winner as well. Whilst Paul O'Neill says, personally, I think it would be a great signing. Proven quality. I think we played well yesterday, and if we continue in that vein, we will beat most teams in League One. But Curtis' situation, Paul says, is a worry, as I've heard several rumours he is Derby bound, which would be shocking to sell one of our best players midway through the season when we are trying to get promoted. Play at Pompey, says Paul O'Neill, on Facebook. OK, it's time now to go to our second and final break of the night. But fear not, because I'll be back with more from Ryan and Reese, as well as Connor Mosley too, who will be chipping in to give us an insight into tomorrow night's opponents, Peterborough United, who await at London Road for the round of 16 tie of this season's Papa John's Trophy. We'll be back in just a few moments' time to preview that game. So don't go anywhere and join us again for the conclusion of this Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back for the final time tonight to the Football Hour, brought to you in association with Stagecoach across the South. Very shortly, we'll be turning our attention to Pompey's next game and reading out some score predictions from you back home. But first, I'd like to speak to Ryan a little bit about the ongoing situation regarding non-league football and how coronavirus is once again affecting our local clubs. Ryan, we've been hearing rumours over the weekend that non-league football from Step 3 and below could, and I must stress could, be deemed null and void due to the situation we find ourselves in regarding COVID in this country. Now, of course, Ryan, that would not affect your side, having to Waterlooville, who play in the National League South, Step 2 of a non-league ladder, but it's a concerning time for some of our local clubs who have been classed as non-elite, such as the Pompey Women, the United Services of Portsmouth, Moneyfields, AFC Portchester. The list goes on.
No, it is. I mean, we found out recently that in Scotland that their lower leagues would be suspended for 3 weeks, and now you're saying that the rumours are circulating that it could be null and void over here. So, yeah, coronavirus is starting to really creep up on us in regards to not only our lifestyle but football as well. So it's going to be a tough few weeks, few months ahead, especially for the lower leagues. And I'm sure they'll do their best to continue to play, but unfortunately they just don't have the funding to be able to do so. The weekly testing just isn't sustainable for them.
And hopefully, for the sake of those clubs' finances in particular, as we've known from previous lockdowns, but a lot of clubs lower in the pyramid have suffered without games being played, so hopefully it won't happen, Ryan. But say it were to happen, and say that the Hawks were to unfortunately have their season cancelled too, where does that leave the club? Because this season is, of course, another in which Paul Doswell's side would have hoped to gain promotion.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, it'd be very disappointing because of the start that Havant and Waterville have made. But, I mean, the safety of people has to be at the forefront of every decision that is made, especially in my opinion. So, I mean, if it was to be stopped or counted as null and void or gone, on points per game, I mean, it would be at the best interest of everyone involved at each club. So, I mean, if that is the case, although it will affect poorly or on the club and their aspirations for the season, it would only be in the best interest of those involved.
Yeah. Is it too early to suggest that points per game should be used to settle the division, Ryan? Null and void seems rather harsh and throws away a lot of hard work done by all of the clubs since August to get games going again. But it does also seem to me perhaps a little bit early to settle tables based upon PPG. We're at an awkward stage of the season now.
Yeah, I think points per game this early. I mean, Havant and Waterville have only played 10 league games, I believe. Yeah. So, I mean, if they were to go to points per game, they would be very much up there because they sit in the playoff places and they've only played 10 games. So it would probably work in their favour, but it would be incredibly unfair on the teams around them. So if they are going to do points per game, I think they all need to have played an even amount of games.
Yeah. Ryan, thank you for talking us through your thoughts there on the possibility of our local non-league sides having their leagues null and voided. We're going to move on now to look ahead to the next Blues fixture. And we'll start off by hearing from Connor Mosley, who has an in-depth look at tomorrow night's opponents, Peterborough United.
On Sunday afternoon, Pompey were knocked out of the FA Cup despite a solid performance at Championship side Bristol City. This time around, they're set to take on fellow League One opposition, Peterborough United, this time for a place in the quarterfinals of a different competition, the Papa John's Trophy.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Blues take on familiar opposition Peterborough in the next round of the trophy, a side they beat in the run to the 2019 final. But what do we know about the side who only travelled down to Fratton Park for league action 5.5 weeks ago?
Manager.
It's the son of the world famous boss Sir Alex Ferguson, Darren Ferguson, who remained in charge of the posh. The 48-year-old took the reins at London Road for the first of three spells way back in 2007, guiding the club to back-to-back promotions from League Two up to the Championship before leaving by mutual consent in November 2009 with Peterborough rock bottom of the table. His return came in January 2011, succeeding now Torquay United boss Gary Johnson in the dugout and once again delivering promotion to the second tier, leaving 4 years later in 2015. Ferguson returned to the club in January 2019 and has since secured a win percentage of 48.3%, his highest return since his first spell at the club, though he has yet to repeat the achievements of his previous two spells.
One to watch.
Ivorian-born Scottish winger Sariki Dembele, who can also play up front, is always one to keep an eye on when the Blues come up against Peterborough. The tricky forward, who's often known to beat defenders in running battles to burst through and create goal-scoring opportunities for his
his side wears the number 10 shirt. He's scored 5 goals in 18 league appearances this season, but has yet to feature in this trophy competition.
Top scorer.
Former Coventry City and Bristol Rovers frontman Johnson Clark-Harris is Peterborough's leading scorer in League One with 12 strikes to his name. In fact, the 26-year-old sits top of the division's leaderboards, level on goals with Plymouth's Luke Jeffcott, though Clark-Harris has an assist to go alongside. He rejoined the club for an undisclosed fee from the gas of Bristol Rovers last summer, having previously spent a season at London Road between 2012 and 2013, though failed to break through and make an appearance back then. Clark-Harris was a reported target for Pompey before the start of the campaign, largely as a result of his impressive return of 24 goals in 42 games for Rovers last season.
Current form.
The Posh sit in fifth place in League One, having picked up 33 points from 19 games played, 2 places and 2 points behind Pompey. Darren Ferguson's side have returned back-to-back 1-1 draws away from home recently, the latest of which coming against tabletoppers Lincoln City at the weekend. To reach this stage, Peterborough defeated the West Ham under-21s, Pompey's group stage opponents, by 3-0 at London Road, having finished second in their group behind local rivals Cambridge United. Will it be even more trophy success for Pompey, or will the Blues fall to defeat and surrender the title they still hold from 2019? All of the unmissable action of Peterborough versus Pompey in the Papa John's Trophy on Pompey Live.
Connor Mosley there with an in-depth look at Peterborough United, Pompey's opponents, of course, in the next stage of this season's EFL Trophy. Ryan Honey, I'm going to come back to you very quickly. Tomorrow's game, again, not a massively important one for Pompey, of course, but bread and butter this season is League One promotion. But it's a chance for the Blues to get into the quarterfinals of the competition for a third season running. And we've spoken about the FA Cup and how that might, you know, the exit from that might benefit the Blues in the long run this season. But a win tomorrow, likely to be with a much changed Pompey side, would breed confidence.
Oh no, for sure. I mean, Jackett's mentality is no different to the best. He wants to win games, and whether that be in the league, whether that be in the cup, winning will always be his aim. So, should he field a team that's young or has experience, he'll field a team that he believes that can win the game and progress to the next round. So, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, he said that there will be changes, so we'll probably see the likes of Harry Kavanagh, Charlie Bell, that they'll probably come back into the team, and that'd be good for them as well, because they need game time at the age that they are at. So, I mean, for the development side, I mean, I'm all for the EFL Trophy, and I think Jackie is too.
And considering the amount of games that are piling up for Pompey at the end of this season, Reece, do you think that it is a good opportunity to, you know, we've seen in previous campaigns where Pompey fielded these young teams in the group stages, perhaps be the first one or two games of the knockout stages as well. But do you think this has got a good opportunity to utilise these youngsters throughout the entire competition? You know, play them tomorrow. If they win and get through to the quarterfinals, give them another chance in that round as well. Maybe even the semis and the final if they get there. Save the first team as such for the league.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is one of the only competitions that we play this, you know, in the season that you could properly do that and still hope to, you know, get a result. You know, you do that in the league, you do that in a cup like the FA Cup, perhaps, then, you know, depending on your opposition, of course, that's when you're starting to risk it a bit more. But usually, yeah, this is the opportunity to field those types of sorts of players. And actually, this time, I think it's a little bit different because our team is coming off the back of, you know, a couple of weeks off. You know, not all of them played the 90 minutes, of course, and during the FA Cup game. So actually, is this the time to, would we play more of a stronger side in a sense, just so we could get everyone properly back into the rhythm? And obviously, I think we also want a win. I think we should want a win, yeah, guaranteed, because we sort of need to build back up that momentum again. So I think we need to get the balance right. It is a good opportunity to play younger players, and it always is in this cup. But as well as that, we need to look at the circumstances now as well and see that actually, looking at the previous couple of weeks off and stuff like that, and our player fitness and everything, I think that needs to be taken into account this time too.
Graham and Baffins on the text says, get Daniels in the 80s we had a similar dilemma, youth versus experience, and we got an experience with Kenny Swain, who gave us a very good service and we won promotion. Graham and Baffins there. Some score predictions very quickly then coming into us now. Paul O'Neill on Facebook says, but Hawula needs to start and I think we will win 3-1. Stephen is going for a 2-0 Pompey win. James reckons a 1-0 draw, win on penalties, and Ben thinks it will end in a 1-0 win for Pompey. Ryan Honey, what do you reckon? How do you think this one will pan out?
Well, it'll depend which manager wants it more, which team will be the stronger of the two. But I'm gonna be positive. I'm gonna go for a 2-1 Pompey win.
2-1 win says.
Side, I hope.
2-1 says Ryan. How about you, Reece? Very quickly.
I think Peterborough can. You know, Peterborough always have that threat, but I think, you know, off the back of this weekend, then hopefully we can get it. 2-1, maybe 3-1. Let's go 3-1.
Lads, thank you both so much for your predictions and for joining me tonight. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Pompey win. So, your next Pompey fix comes this time tomorrow. The Blues travel to London Road to take on Peterborough United in the round of 16 of the Papa John's Trophy. And as always, we've got you covered.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey were knocked out of the FA Cup after losing 2-1 to Bristol City on Sunday.
Chris Martin has found the top corner and has given Bristol City the lead with just 7.5 minutes remaining.
Up next, another away trip to Peterborough for EFL Trophy action. Join us for all the unmissable action tomorrow from 6.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
And that is just about all we've got time for tonight. Thank you both to Ryan Honey and Reece Harding for joining me over the course of the hour to reflect upon Pompey's defeat at Bristol City in the FA Cup yesterday, and of course to look forward to tomorrow night's game away to Peterborough United in the EFL Trophy. Of course, kick-off for that one at London Road is 7 p.m. We're on air from 6 o'clock. Myself, Liam and Ryan, we've got you covered. Coming up next here on Express FM, then, your Monday evening looks like this. For Soft Rock Show from 7 o'clock after the news, Jeff and Aid will be looking back at big events in music history, including the Beatles, the Police, Bowie and Moody Blues as well. Liam House is back from 9 o'clock with Express Wind Down, just the most relaxing songs all night long through until 11 o'clock tonight. And Mason Jordan wakes you up with Portsmouth Breakfast from 7 through till 10 tomorrow before Darren Gavin takes back the controls from 10 through till 1. Ian James is then back until 4 o'clock when James Percy takes over in the studio with Drive Time between 4 and 6. And as I say, Pompey Live is back on your radios tomorrow evening, ladies and gentlemen. Pompey travel to Peterborough United looking to book a place in the quarterfinals of the Papa John's Trophy for a third season running. Can they do it? The only place to find out is here on Express FM. But until then, have a great evening, Pompey fans. Stay safe and good night. Play up, Pompey.